Go to 1 Peter, please, if you would. 1 Peter in the wonderful New Testament. First Epistle of Peter. If you haven't been with us, this is our third night into the things that we're looking at today, tonight. And the previous messages are available. You can go online. There's no charge, no cost for it. And we're building upon what came before. We've seen in this passage in 1 Peter, that this word precious keeps being used. And so let's look at it again. 1 Peter 1, and look at verse 7 here. For time's sake, we won't read all of it, but just noticing the words. He says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes. Later on he talks about we're born again by incorruptible seed that lasts forever, that doesn't perish. And here he says our faith is that way. The rest of this verse is just astounding. It says that our faith is going to be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The Lord is going to honor our faith.
So good.
And praise our faith. Wow. Woo. Then we best have some. Now. Right? And so anybody that mocks us, making fun of faith and that faith bunch and faith people, I guess they haven't read this. But no, you want to be all in with faith. Because without it, you can't even begin. It didn't say it's challenging. It said it's impossible. There's no way you're going to please Him without it. And it is the victory that overcomes the whole world that we're living in right now. So regardless of what it is, if it's a physical victory you need, or a marital victory, or mental, emotional victory, or financial victory, faith, faith, faith and faith.
Yeah.
Huh?
Amen.
I'm telling you.
Yes, sir.
That's how you're going to do it.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. It takes faith to resist the enemy and overcome. It takes faith to receive from God. Faith is the hand that lays hold and receives. So precious faith. And then in the 18th verse is what we had read earlier. You know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold. Verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now the word precious is a word hated by the devil. And so he has mocked it and slandered it. And you'll hear mockers twisting that word precious and saying it with a sneer. But to you and I, it's a holy word.
Amen.
And the word precious is used here. It means extremely valuable.
Yes.
How many would agree?
Yes.
The blood that bought us.
Yes.
Extremely valuable. And he says that your faith is extremely valuable. The Bible talks about precious promises, great and precious promises, extremely valuable. The Bible said in the Psalms that how precious, Lord, are your thoughts to me. Somebody say precious.
Precious.
What does that mean? Extremely valuable. The Bible talks about precious souls. And it talks about that the Lord is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. The harvest is precious to Him. Now, if you skip on down to the second chapter, chapter 2, it says in verse 1, laying aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be that you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Now, how many know who he's talking about, this living stone? This made the head in the corner. Jesus. You also, as lively or living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Yeah. A lot of folks today, church-going people, are completely ignoring what we call the Old Testament. This is a grave mistake.
Yes, it is.
Huge mistake. Because there's no such thing as an old, out-of-date Word of God.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
No such thing. God has not changed. And you hear people, bless their hearts. I've said dumb things before, so I'm not judging anybody. But mocking about the law.
Yes.
The law. Well, the book of Romans in the New Testament says the law is good and righteous and holy. There was never anything wrong with the law. It was that people failed to keep it. And you know, people mock about, you know, the Ten Commandments like that's an old passe thing. Well, no. How many think thou shalt not lie is still a great idea?
Hello.
Thou shalt not steal. You'll have no other gods before me. Still correct?
Yeah.
Still right? And so if you ignore the Old Testament, as it's called, it's not an old Word of God.
Right.
Now, our covenant has changed, but everything God has ever said is still perfect and good and right and just, and there is no Word of God void of power.
Yeah. Amen.
And all of the things that he gave Moses in the law and in the sacrifices, and he gave David with the temple and all of those things. The scripture said God gave it to David, the pattern, right out of heaven. When you and I get to heaven, we're going to see things, the actual in heaven that we read about in the book that they made naturally during these scriptures in Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and all these places. And he's telling us, see, the Holy Spirit, through the writers of the New Testament, you can tell they're talking to you like you know the Old Testament.
Right. Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
So when he says a holy priesthood, if you've never read the Old Testament, you have no clue what he's talking about. But everything that they did, the sacrifices that they brought are a type of what you and I are to be involved in today.
Yes, amen.
We don't offer the blood of bulls and goats. The blood of the Jesus, the spotless lamb, has forever paid that price. But we do, we are to offer up things, spiritual sacrifices and offerings. Now, in order for something to be spiritual, there has to be spirit involvement. Your spirit and God's spirit. And all the things that we talk about, faith, love, joy, peace, these are spiritual. And they are all of the heart.
Good.
Everybody say heart.
Heart.
And notice that he says, you as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Have you read in Revelation that the Lord redeemed us by his blood from every kindred and tongue and nation and has made us unto our God, kings and priests. That's you. That's me. That's every one of us. Well, kings rule and reign. What do priests do? Priests offer up sacrifices. They bring offerings. Now, he said, as a spiritual house, as a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, that phrase is not just thrown in there. Okay. There are sacrifices that are not acceptable.
Okay. Yeah. Amen.
And we spent some time on that last night. Mm-hmm. God has always been this way from the very beginning. We looked in the book of Genesis. Cain and Abel brought their offerings. Wow. Right? There was no law telling them to bring an offering. There was no organized church. Where did they get the idea of bringing an offering? Yeah. They weren't being religious. They got it directly from God. But we saw that God accepted Abel and his offering.
Right. Right.
Remember that language?
Yeah.
Both.
Good.
And he did not accept Cain and his offering. So we see that from the very beginning. God does not accept all offerings. Now, this hadn't been taught widely.
Yes.
Mm. A lot of preachers, you know, leave the idea that regardless, if you'll just put some money in the plate,
Uh-oh.
You'll be blessed.
No.
That's not true.
No, it's not right.
I said it's not true.
Amen.
God does not accept all offerings. He does not. And in order for something to be acceptable, it must be done from a heart that pleases God. A heart of love and a heart of faith. And what we saw last night is where the scripture came from that we've got up over the platform here. Those that honor me, I will honor. It came from the passage where Eli's sons were despising the offerings of the Lord. And in so doing, they wound up being rejected. And the Lord said that he had intended that Eli's house continue before him forever. He said, but no, you're going to treat my things like this? You're going to despise me? Uh-uh. Those that honor me, I will honor. And those that despise me will be lightly esteemed. And you see, there is nothing more fair in all the world is that God treats you the way you treat him. Hmm?
Yeah.
If you treat his things as though they don't matter, they are insignificant, then you will be insignificant. Your life and your time and your efforts. Oh, but friend, brother, sister, the more you honor him, the more you value and treasure his things, he will honor you. Does that sound big to you or not? The creator of the heavens and the earth, knowing your name among billions is a big deal. Right? Knowing you exist and caring that you exist. But personally, honoring you? This is big. I said, this is big. And if God said it, you can count on it.
Yes, yes, sir.
But we live in a world, an ungodly world, where things have gotten much worse in the world than they were even 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. And what you'll see is the more ungodly things trend, the less people have even a clue about what honor is. Because honor is godly. And the ungodly don't even understand it. It's like you're talking a foreign language to them. Don't even know why you would say it or why you would do it or why you talk about it. It takes revelation. And what we're doing this week is you and I are presenting ourselves before the Lord, and we're saying, Lord, teach us the difference between holy and unholy.
Thank you, Lord.
Right?
Yeah.
Precious and worthless.
Thank you, Lord.
Help us to see what you call honorable and valuable. Go ahead and say it out loud. Father, teach me.
Father, teach me.
I want to know
what you call
precious.
Precious.
Hallelujah. Amen. We want to see it that way. We want to talk about it that way. We want to respond that way. And what's the amazing, amazing other side of that? He will honor you when you do that. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. It went on to say in that same passage, 1 Peter 2 and 6, he said, it's contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, select, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Right?
Yes.
But to them that are disobedient, which is also the word used for unbelieving and also unpersuadable, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made a head of the corner. The whole of humanity is being judged by this. God so loved the world that he gave precious to him. Right? His own son. And Jesus so loved the Father and us that he came and gave himself willingly.
Hmm?
The angels were baffled. They were like, huh? What? What is man? You're going to give yourself for them? It baffled them. And here's the sad part. This is the saddest thing there is. He came unto his own.
Yes.
And they rejected him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Wow. Yes, sir.
Wow.
The most beautiful, precious thing that it's ever happened. That God ever gave us. People spit on him. Slapped him, cussed him, scourged him, treated him like dirt. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Isaiah 53. Put it up, Isaiah 53:3. I'm just elaborating on when it says he was disallowed. He was rejected. Isaiah 53 says that. Isaiah saw in the Spirit into the future.
Yes, sir.
And what he saw happening with the Son of God who was to come, he said, he's despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Why? Because he's despised and we esteemed him not. And this is the case with most of the world right now. They despise him. They mock us. They mock the Bible. They mock the Holy Spirit. They make jokes. They blaspheme. And it's like what Jesus said on the cross. Lord, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. But you and I are light in the darkness. Hmm? In the midst of the vulgar and the ungodly. And the disrespectful.
Yes.
And the profane.
Yes.
You and I are to be full of honor.
Yes.
Full of glory.
Yes.
Speaking of the precious
Hallelujah.
Things of God.
Yes.
Holding them in the highest
yes.
esteem
yes.
and regard. And no matter how much they laugh and mock,
yes.
it won't faze us.
Hallelujah.
We know in whom we have believed.
Yes.
We know.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That the blood is precious
yeah.
and the word, the gospel has saved us. So we'll only grow in this honor. And we do not want to let any of the despising of the world contaminate us and get on us at all. Matthew 6, if you'd turn there. And the 19th verse. Matthew 6:19, Jesus said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." He's saying, convert it. Convert it from corruptible to incorruptible. Convert it from temporary to eternal. Huh? Convert it from exposed and easy to lose to can't lose. Now, he's not saying you can't have any savings. But you do not want to just stockpile with no thought about the kingdom. And you don't want to think because you got something saved or stockpiled or reserved that you are secure because of that. Because down here, nothing's secure. In the natural and these things, it can be gone so quick. Hallelujah. We'll save that for later. Are y'all okay? And the next one, the next verse, what does it say? "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." The good news says your heart will always be where your riches are. Phillips says, "Wherever your treasure is, you may be certain your heart will be there too." Now, we're still talking about a spiritual house offering up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. What makes an offering acceptable? Cain's was not. And we talked about that. His offering was not acceptable because he wasn't acceptable. The scripture said the Lord didn't have respect to Cain and his offering. It is the heart of the giver that makes the offering acceptable or not acceptable.
That's right.
It's not the amount. It's the heart. Why? Because whatever you treasure, your heart will be connected to that. And if you don't value it, your heart won't be connected to it. And if your heart's not connected to it, and there's no love connected to it, and there's no faith connected to it, God's not interested in it. Some years ago, I had the privilege of teaching in Rhema Bible Training Center a course on praise life. And the summer before, I was working on the things. And I just sat back in my chair one day and I thought, glory to God, I can give something to the Creator that He will receive from me and enjoy. Praise. Hallelujah. Praise. And while I was thinking about that, the Lord interrupted me. And He said, "Now, Keith, if you're not enjoying it, don't assume I'm getting a lot out of it." If we're just going through the motions, huh? I mean, think about it. What if I came to this brother and I said, "Oh, Ben, you're great, 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 great. You are so great. You are wonderful, great, great. I'm not even looking, not even thinking about something else, checking what I'm going to have for lunch. Great, yeah, you're great. That's right, great." What would he say? Quit. Would you quit? Well, this is true with the sacrifice of praise. It's true with an offering of any kind. including offering up your body and your life. The Bible said, don't do it, don't give grudgingly.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's right, it does.
Why? Because that in the heart will contaminate your offering so that it is unacceptable. Regardless of what the offering actually was. Because we don't just offer natural sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices. Look with me in the book of Haggai. They'll put it on the screen. Oh, the Lord, the word is so rich. There's so much. Have you found there's so much in the word? Haggai. My. Second chapter. Listen to this revelation. Haggai 2:10. He said, in the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month, the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying. So the Lord asks questions of the priests. He said, thus says the Lord of hosts, ask the priests concerning the law. Now, he's the one who gave them the law. When the Lord asks you a question, it's not because he don't know the answer. He's trying to help you realize something. Ask them, if one bears holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and his skirt touches the bread or the pottage or the wine or oil or any meat, will it be holy? And the priest said, No. Now he's talking about offerings that were offered to the Lord and given to the Lord, and as such, he said, are holy. Verse 13, then Haggai said, if one that is unclean by a dead body touches any of these holy offerings, which in and of themselves were good. But he said, if anybody that's unclean by a dead body, if they touch it, will it be unclean? And the priest said, yes, it's unclean. Then Haggai said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, says the Lord, and every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. Why? Because of their heart. Their heart. It's like we were saying the last night with Abel. When the Bible said that Abel offered to God of his flock, of the fat thereof, it wasn't like God said, ooh, a sheep. He made sheep.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wasn't like he said, ooh, that's the prettiest sheep I ever saw. God's seen some things, okay? He's seen it all. Wowing him. But what was it? He had respect unto Abel and his offering. Can you see that? Why? It was what was in Abel's heart that moved him to give his best. That's what caused God to say, I like it. I'll take it. I'll receive it. And for the Creator to receive something and call it acceptable from the created, this is big. I said, this is big.
Yes, sir.
Notice, if you look in Matthew 5, they'll put it on the screen for us. Matthew 5 and 21. I've heard people say, well, you know, Jesus, the law was until Jesus, and Jesus taught the law. And I've heard people discount some of the things that the master said, saying, well, no, that's not the epistles. So that, are you joking? The scripture said the law and the prophets were until John. John. Jesus did not preach the law. He preached the kingdom. The kingdom of God. And he drew contrast between the law. Don't you remember? In this entire fifth chapter, he'd say, in the law it says this, but I say to you. Right? What he's doing is introducing spirit. And that's when he said in John 6, the flesh profits nothing. The words I speak to you. It's the Spirit that quickens. And the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And we must. Hamankara ist in viti elogons. As the church, we must grow up and quit only looking at the flesh and the natural and be spiritual.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
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 Do you believe it?
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Spiritual. Think spiritual.
Yes.
Act spiritual.
Yes.
And spiritual means it's always about the heart.
That's right. That's right.
My motive. My intent.
Yes. Yes.
My focus.
Yes, sir.
Man looks on the outward appearance.
Yeah. Right.
Not God. God looks at the heart.
Yes.
And whatever I treasure, that's where my heart is.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? Whatever I think about all the time, whatever I talk about all the time, whatever I long for, whether you won't admit it or not, that's your heart. Your heart is connected to that. So if our heart is really for God, then that's what we treasure above everything else. Not just being religious, but that's our heart. In Matthew 5, the Lord is saying, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not kill. Whoever will kill will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, see, what he's teaching was not in the law. He's saying whoever's angry with his brother. You don't have to kill him to do wrong. Just be angry without a cause. Is in danger of judgment. Whoever will say Reka is in danger of the council. Whoever says thou fool will be in danger of hell fire. Those last two words have to do with calling people worthless.
Yes. Yes.
And the enemy will try to get you mad or upset or hurt and feed you words to try to speak against anybody, somebody, especially
right.
people that you're close to when
yes.
you get mad and upset,
yes.
to make them feel less.
That's right.
And worthless.
That's right.
And you don't want to do that. If you do it, you better repent quick. Because God takes it seriously. But look at the very next verse. The very next verse. He said, therefore, this is all connected. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, you're going to offer, you're going to bring an offering. And you remember, while you're going there, when you get there, your brother has something against you. Not you have something against him. He has something against you. You messed up with him or her. What did Jesus say? I'm going to paraphrase. Don't complete the offering. Why? It won't be acceptable. Faith works by love. Right? And if you're violating the New Testament commandment, are holding a grudge or being proud or yes. stupid or whatever and won't repent and won't try to get things right,
yes.
your heart will condemn you.
Will.
No matter how you're acting on the outside.
Yes.
And so your faith won't work. And so the motions you're going through with the giving will not be profitable and not acceptable. Now this is not widely preached, but am I reading the scriptures?
Yes.
Should we take the Lord seriously about this?
Yes.
What did he say? Leave your gift. Stop right there. Leave your gift before the altar. Don't finish. Go your way. Leave. And first, somebody say first.
First
be reconciled to your brother. And then come and offer your gift. Why? Is there such a thing as vain prayer? The Lord warned us about it. He warned us about vain repetitions or praying to be seen of men. He warned us. He called it vain. Vain means useless.
Yes.
Is there such a thing as vain giving?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's not just going through the motions. God's always looking at our heart.
Yes.
He wanted to accept Cain, didn't he?
Yes.
He told him, he said, if you'll do well,
yeah.
you'll be accepted.
Yes.
Didn't he tell him that?
Yes.
But Cain was too proud and too full of rage. And he wouldn't admit his own mistake. He wouldn't admit that he didn't even try to bring a good offering.
Yeah.
He's just going through the motions of it. And he didn't want to deal with his own heart and his own issues. And you'll find this is why people get so mad about money and tithes and offerings. Oh, people get so... I used to ask myself, why do people get so upset about this? You know, we got so many ugly letters. And so many things, you know, and I'm thinking, I'm not hurting these people. They don't even know me. What do they care? This is why they care. Same reason Cain went into a rage. Because what happened with that offering showed up deficiencies in Cain's heart. Not just that he made a mistake and came short. He didn't care and was unwilling to change or even try. Somebody say, by the grace of God, not I. Are we willing to change? Are we willing to make an adjustment? Oh, hallelujah. Thanks be to God. You know, I know this may sound, feel a little bit heavy, but I am so delighted that we can talk about these things in this group. That means you can hear it. Huh? You got ears to hear it. Because in a lot of places, we wouldn't be on this. We'd be on something much more elementary. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm coming up. We're coming up. We're coming up. Oh, thank you, Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Go to Malachi, if you would. Since you're agreeable, we'll give you another helping. Is this good or is this good? You can get some real answers as to why some things haven't been as effective as they should be. Make an adjustment. Now get more results than ever before.
Yeah, that's good.
Right?
Amen.
It's good. The truth will make you free.
Yeah.
Malachi. Four short chapters. Last writing of prophets as we go into the New Testament in our Bible. And you'll find this theme. The Lord was very displeased with them because of their despising. That's the word that kept coming up over and over. And how many know what's in Malachi 3? Tithing. And now we have come to a place in our modern generation that even a number among word and faith circles think tithing's unnecessary and even something that no longer applies to us. Well, you know how quiet it got. Who said it? Is Malachi the word of God?
Yes.
Come on, y'all going to help me out with this or not?
Yes,
is it the word of God?
Yes.
Where has it been changed? No. Now, granted, a lot of groups, denominations, preachers have taught tithing wrongly. They've taught it as a legalistic requirement. And they have demanded, and they have condemned, and they have required. And if you have to tithe by requirement, it's not tithing. If you got no choice but to do it, where's your heart? You see what I'm saying? Where's your faith? No. Tithing was long before Moses. Long before the law. Just like offerings were all the way back in Genesis, you know. Abraham tithed. Oh, glory to God. With no scripture for it. Nobody requiring, nobody telling. You know what it was about? Honor. I said honor. It was acknowledging the Almighty and where your provision came from, and where your protection came from, where your blessing came from, and returning, not because you had to, returning the holy portion unto your provider, creator. Hallelujah. As a free will. And that's never changed. Honoring God is still right. Should God be involved in your finances? How? To what measure? You'll hear people say, you know, in error, well, everything I have belongs to the Lord. Well, why do you keep spending His stuff then? And if everything is His, you cannot give Him an offering. You have nothing to give Him. Nothing is yours. It's not true. I said it's not true. God said the tenth part is His. That hasn't changed. And it won't change. And anything above that, that's yours. And so you can give offerings. Huh? But again, if we don't do it with the right heart, it won't be accepted. Now look in Malachi 1. And man, if we had time, it'd be wonderful to just go verse by verse through this whole thing. The thing to get is discernment. Do you want to love what God loves and hate what He hates? Right? And if He hates something, you don't want to be anywhere around it. Right? And has He ever changed? Will He ever change? No. Thank God our access to Him has changed because of what Jesus has done. But God has never changed. He didn't need to change it. And He never will. And so what He says here is still true today, of course. In Malachi 1 and verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Keep going. Let's go. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, wherein have you loved us? Now you'll find this is a theme all the way through Malachi. That every time God says something to them, they respond with a dumb question. Which shows how far backslid they are. How out of touch they are with Him. That they aren't even connecting with what He's talking about. They're like, huh? What? Where? When? Well, they don't feel like you love does. When did you love us? Now get this. He said, wasn't Esau Jacob's brother? Yet I love Jacob, but I've hated Esau. Really? That's what he said. Now, that's a strong word. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Does that mean He loves every individual? Selah. He didn't love Esau. And what you and I should endeavor to find out is why. This is serious. Why? Y'all are quiet. Go with me to Genesis 25. And let's review what happened with Esau. Genesis 25. Jacob later became Israel. And his brother Esau are young men. And Jacob, Genesis 25:29, this is the NIV, he was cooking some stew. He liked to cook. Esau came in from the open country, famished. He liked to hunt, but this time he didn't kill anything. And he's famished. And he said, Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. And that's where he got his name that they wound up calling all of his descendants Edom, which means red, from the red stew. So this is a big issue. Anytime something follows generations, it was a big issue in their origin. 31, Jacob replied, first, sell me your birthright. Somebody said, that's not nice. No, it wasn't nice. It wasn't. But it's not the biggest problem. Keep reading. Esau says, look, I'm about to die. I doubt it. Huh? Besides that, if he's back close with brother, how far is mama's house? And whoever starved at mama's house? I think this is an exaggeration. I'm about to die, and what good is this birthright to me? Now, this is what God hated and still does. What good? What good is it? Now, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but have you ever heard that kind of talk? I've heard Christians that should know better. You know, man, I've sown, I've given. What good has it done me? Huh? I've prayed and prayed and prayed my heart out and cried my guts out. And it ain't done any good for me. It's dangerous ground you're standing on there. Especially if God has done things for you before and you've seen it and know it. Now, are we still talking about the heart?
Yes.
Keep reading. He said, look, I'm about to die. What good is this birthright to me? Jacob said, swear to me first. Now, even though Jacob did some shifty stuff, he respected spiritual things.
Yes.
Well, come on, can you see that?
Yes, sir.
So much so. He wanted it too much. Hmm? But having said that, he did respect it.
Yes.
He respected the birthright. He respected the anointing.
Yes.
He respected God's things. And so Esau, Jacob gave Esau some bread and a little stew. He ate it and drank and got up and left. So Esau despised. Oh, come on, do you hear the word? Do you hear the word? He despised his birthright. Friend, this is one of the worst things you or I could possibly do, is despise a holy thing of God. If you're ignorant in doing it, the Lord's merciful. But as soon as you've got some light, it becomes very serious. And that's why we're talking all this week. We've prayed the prayer. Do we want to know what's holy to God? What's special to Him? What's precious to Him? So that we never despise a holy thing or something that God's doing. You remember how seriously Jesus talked about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And I've heard people, we've had people say ugly things to us, you know, even about talking in tongues.
Yeah.
Well, that's of the devil. Oh, I hope you're ignorant. Huh? How many understand? At the least, if you're not sure, shut up.
Yeah.
Right? If you're not, well, I just don't know if that's God or not. Well, if it is, and you despise it, you put yourself in a bad place.
Yeah.
No. Just go, well, we'll see. Right? And grow. But Hebrews, put up Hebrews 12:15, please. Hebrews 12:15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Is it automatic that you will benefit from grace? No. No. Will everybody be saved? Grace is available. you can fail of the grace of God. And here's how. Lest a root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Did Esau get bitter over that offering deal? And it plunged him into hate and depression and darkness. Bitterness is something you do not have to have. It doesn't matter what somebody did to you, bitterness is not okay. Because bitterness reveals unforgiveness. And can cause you to fail of the grace of God. Because if you won't forgive others, you won't be forgiven. And without grace, you will not stand. You will not succeed without help. The help of God. So regardless of what they did or didn't do, for your own sake, forgive. Let it go. Release it. And cast the care of it over on the Lord. And if they really are in a bad person, they'll have enough problems without your stuff. And ask the Lord to have mercy, and don't hold that against them. Because God holds this. He holds you forgiving like He forgave you. Precious. That's valuable to Him. And a meek and a quiet spirit is of great price. Is that great price? And He's not just talking about women there. Our wives there. You read the content. Yes. He's talking about just a meek and quiet spirit is precious and valuable to Him in all of us. Jesus said, you want to learn about me? I'm meek and lowly of heart. God hates arrogance and pride and lying. So if He hates it, I hates it. How about you? Come on, try it out. You'll enjoy it. Say, if He hates it,
I hates it.
Yeah. What does that mean? No, humble yourself. Forgive. Right? Remind yourself every day, except for the grace of God, I'd be worse than they are. Right? Except for the mercy of God, maybe you used to be worse than they were. But He said, keep reading. 16. Lest there be any what? Fornicator or profane person. We're talking about what God hated about Esau. Wow. Profane means, this is one definition, open to anything. Commonly used and abused. It is the opposite of special and holy. And can you hear it in the language of Esau? His brother says, sure, you can have all the stew you want. Sell me your birthright. If Esau's heart was right, the music would have stopped. Is that right? And he said, no, you're talking about the holy things of God. No, Bubba, don't joke about that. Right? This is the holy things of God. This has to do with God's call on our family and taking it into the next generation. No, you know I'm not going to do that. But that's not what Esau said. What did he say? What's this birthright? Huh? Tithing? What's that? Huh? See, despising is not just, you know, blaspheming and railing against. Lightly esteeming something is despising. He uses the terms interchangeably. Just to treat something like it doesn't matter, like it's nothing, is despising. And that's what God hated. Esau despised a holy thing. Yeah. 16 says, for one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. Now, can you see the Bible's given multiple scriptures to this? It's a big deal. Old Testament, New Testament. He said, for you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. Now, not the birthright, the blessing. The blessing. Even though he found no place of repentance, no way to change it, though he sought it carefully with tears. And old friend, this is Revelation right here. He didn't care about the spiritual stuff. He did care about the money. The inheritance. Why? Because when that came up, it's when daddy's about to die. And the blessing that came with the birthright was huge. And daddy's rich. Very rich. And all of his crying is not because he thought he displeased God. All of his grieving and crying is because he's missing out on hundreds of millions of dollars. And how many people there are, they're unwilling to do what other people have done that are blessed. Huh? They don't care about the word. They don't care about faith. They got no time to pray. They're unwilling to sow a seed, much less tithe. But they want all the overflowing blessings, which is why people gravitate to churches that preach no-fault religion by the multiplied thousands that require nothing of them. And just tell them that they are blessed, 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 and God has it all under control, and you don't have to do a thing.
Come on, you better preach.
Our dear elder, Billy Graham, before he went home, somebody was asking him, because he had seen a lot through his years of the changes in the body of Christ. A reporter was asking him about, you know, how he saw the church going and this kind of thing. He said, many are not preaching the gospel. He said, they're preaching what I call easy believism. Easy believism. And he went on to talk about that nothing's required of you. Nothing is expected. Nothing's required. And he talked about how Jesus said, you got to be willing to leave everything. Is that right? And lay down your own life. That's not the message you hear. Right? And he said, and this adapting to your community and your surroundings, he said, everybody's so concerned about offending this group or that group and not concerned at all about offending God. I thought, man, that's wisdom. That is wisdom, and that is right. Continue here in Malachi. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He had no respect for the birthright, but he desperately wanted the stuff. Now, in the sixth verse of Malachi 1, this whole book, four little short chapters, sit down and read it again soon and see what we're talking about. And notice everywhere it refers to these specific things. Because why do we have it? Why is it given to us? Human nature is the same. The enemy's working the same. The Lord says, a son honors his father. And a servant, in other words, honors his master. If I be a father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where's my fear? This includes fear and reverence. He said, where is it? Says the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests, that despise my name. There's that word. Can you see why he mentions Esau in the first couple of verses? Because this is the issue is despising. And they, the priesthood, the ministry, are doing the same thing Esau did all those years ago. They wouldn't acknowledge it. And notice their response. Where do we despise your name? Like I said, you're going to see this dumb question response repeatedly. And verse 7, he answers them. He says, you offer polluted bread on my altar. And you say, where have we polluted you? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. I was going to read the Living Bible on this. The Living Bible. It says, priests that despise my name, they say, who, us? He said, yeah. When did we ever despise your name? He says, you offer polluted sacrifices on my altar. They said, polluted sacrifices? When have we ever done a thing like that? He said, every time you say, don't bother bringing anything very valuable to offer to God. Don't bother. And you tell the people, lame animals are all right to offer on the altar. Sick animals, okay. Blind ones, okay. It's all okay. Everything's okay. You heard this before? Everything's fine. Everything's okay. Now the Lord had given them these are priests. You know what priests were supposed to be doing a lot of the time? Studying the law. They're supposed to know the law. Forwards and backwards. How do you even know how to do the sacrifices and all that? And listen to Leviticus. Leviticus 22:20 says, the Lord said, whatever has a blemish, you shall not offer it. It shall not be acceptable for you. And whoever offers a sacrifice of peace offerings to the Lord, or free will offerings, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There will be no blemish in it. Blind, broken, maimed, scabbed, you will not offer these to the Lord, nor make an offering by fire upon the altar. A bull or a lamb or anything that's lacking its parts for a vow, it will not be accepted. Everybody say, not acceptable, not acceptable. Now, this also is a healing scripture. If God put sickness in them, they would be acceptable. Do you hear that? He would not reject his own work. But a disease, a deformity, even accidents that deform and maim and all that, none of that can be an improvement or acceptable to God's perfect creation. God made human beings, and he made animals the way he wanted them to be before the fall, before the sin, before curse, before death. And it's not that sick people are not acceptable to him, but the sickness is not acceptable. Oh, come on, can you see this? And didn't the Bible tell us we are to offer up our bodies a living sacrifice? Come on, keep coming. Holy. That's a healing verse. I said that's a healing verse. Healing verse. The sickness, the disease, the deficiency, not acceptable. Not acceptable. And God is able to make it acceptable. Hallelujah. To make it whole. To make it healed. To cleanse it. Restore it. Renew it. Make it sound. Healthy. Whole. Acceptable. So he said, you're saying, sure, bring anything. Now here's something we're getting to. As the Lord's ministers, as his leaders, if we represent him the way he has always been, There will be offerings we do not accept. I said there will be offerings from time to time that we should not accept.
Yes, sir.
Hmm? And we'll get into this later perhaps, but you cannot buy a blessing.
Come on.
You cannot buy the gift of God. Is somebody trying to buy influence? Or trying to buy... When I worked in healing school at Brother Hagin's ministry there in Oklahoma, we had some miracles in the healing school. And more than once, I refused an offering. One time there was this couple that sent word to me that they were wanting to bring their young child that had a terrible disease, and but they just wanted to know that a bunch of money was going to be coming my way before they got there. And I said, no. They said, what? I said, no. No. And I knew, I wasn't ugly with them, but you could tell in their mind, they didn't know much about God, and in their mind, it's kind of like moving your child up on the organ donor list.
Come on.
Huh? They didn't say that, but I picked that up in my heart. And I said, no, come, bring your child. But there is no charge and there is no cost. And no, you must not sow an offering like that.
Come on now. Yeah, that's right. Amen. Amen, sir.
Why? Because the healing power of God is holy and cannot be bought with any amount of money. Is that right? And God is the healer. You can't buy Him. You can't bribe Him. And as a man of God, a woman of God, a minister of God, or a child of God, we all need to represent Him well. Don't we? In this regard, that means there'll be times and there'll be things when people go for money, and they go for their purse, they go for their pocketbook. You have to go, no, no, no. This is not the time and it's not the way. Not like that.
Yeah.
Not this.
Good.
And there are times, just like what we're reading in Malachi, that people are, they're not even trying.
Yeah.
And they want to make a big deal out of it. You know, Ananias and Sapphira. Remember that? They want to make a big deal out of something. And there need to be times we need to say, no, no, you can't announce that. And no, you can't do that. Why? Because their motive is wrong. They're wanting favor, they're wanting a place, they're wanting attention or something. And should we give no place to covetousness, which is idolatry, the scripture said.
That's right.
Now there's only one way to get all these things right, because everybody's different and things change, but the Holy Spirit will let you know.
Yes.
I said the Holy Spirit will let you know.
Yes, amen.
And what we've seen is if everything's okay, you have no thought otherwise about it. But when it's not right, the Spirit of God will prompt you. And then sometimes you have to do some things that's uncomfortable and awkward, but that's part of being a leader.
Right.
You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be harsh. And sometimes people just don't know any better. But you cannot buy a blessing. You cannot buy the things of God. The price has already been paid. Hallelujah. By the precious blood of the Lamb. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, notice, he went on to say, you're bringing these lame animals and these blind and maimed and all this stuff. And verse 9, I'm reading the Living Bible still. He said, you say, God have mercy on us, you recite. And you say, God be gracious to us. He said, that's what you're saying. But when you bring that kind of gift, why should I show you any favor at all? Let me ask you a question. Has God changed?
No.
Huh? He don't feel like this anymore. In this very book, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. And the reason why people get upset is this, they don't know Him very well. God is not just this Mickey Mouse thing you've imagined. He is the Almighty who sits on the throne. He is holy. He is uncompromising. You do it His way or not, doesn't work. Because He's right. And if you care, you want to do it his way. And if you've made a mistake, you don't want to do like Cain, fly into a rage and depression. You want to repent and go, oh, God, sorry. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I didn't realize. Forgive me. And he will. He's quick to forgive.
Amen.
His mercy endures forever.
Yes, amen.
But it's the unwillingness to repent that's the heart problem that he won't force you to fix. And if you won't, then that can become unfixable. He goes on to say, to find one priest among you that would shut the doors and refuse this kind of sacrifice. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will not accept your offerings. Well, that's plain enough. Why? Because they're saying, I'll paraphrase for some of the rest of it. Take the time and read this soon. But they're saying, it's a weariness. It's just every time you come, offering time. Every time you come. And people say, I'm tired of trying to do something good. I got a sick one over there. They said, that's fine. Just bring the sick one. Yeah, I got one that we're about to put out of his misery anyway. Good. Just bring him right on. Is it possible to do that kind of thing today with a wrong heart? And we are a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God.
Yes.
Do you want to grow in this?
Yes.
From since I was a boy, the honor of God has touched me deep. I'm not a big crier, but when the honor of God touches me a certain way, the tears flow. Because you touch something that's inside of God.
Yes.
Oh, he is, somebody say holy,
holy,
holy, holy. And part of that holy is precious, valuable. Glory.
Yes.
And you and I don't have to wait till we get to heaven to start understanding some of these things. And people are looking at us. They're watching us. And people who don't know God very well, if they see you're sloppy and you don't care and you don't even make an effort, they will think it's okay. Right? Just like all the people that were following these priests, then next thing you know, nobody bothers to bring anything nice. It's all junk.
That's right.
And God said, I'm not accepting this. I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you can bring it if you want to. But I'm not involved in it. I'm not accepting it. And he went on to say in the third chapter, you've robbed me too. Right? You've robbed me. Why? He said, from way back. You've left my ordinances. You've left my statutes. You've left my ways.
Right.
But even then, he says, bring in the tithes and I'll bless you.
Right.
Hallelujah. It's not too late.
Yeah.
And it's not about money. It's about heart.
Yeah.
People say, well, should you put God first? And, oh, yeah. But don't bring up money.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Don't do that. It's like one fellow said, he thought that if people were honest, some people, when they got baptized, when they went under, they'd hold their wallet out. Because they're not consecrating that part of their life. Stay out of my money. Get out of my money. Well, that shows a heart deficiency. A heart problem. And it's the heart that makes the gift or offering acceptable or not acceptable. Can you take one more thing before we finish up here tonight? There's so much more. But go with me to 1 Chronicles. David, King David, was called a man after God's own heart. And that's mentioned in the book of Acts and in the New Testament. And the definition of what that is a man that will do after my own will. That's a man or woman after God's own heart. is a man or woman that wants what he wants.
Yes.
And wants to do it his way.
Yeah.
And is willing to sacrifice, willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen. And as such, David understood honor.
Yeah.
Yes.
He got some things about honor from God himself. And some of the statutes that he made and some of the things that he did were unprecedented. Unprecedented before his time. And what is so astounding is that when he was on the run from Saul, I mean, his picture is on the poster at the post office. And you can't stay anywhere very long. He's got to keep on the move. And the Bible said that people gravitated to him who were in debt and we might say disgusted and busted. Not a finer lot of people. And yet, within a few years, you see them, their names listed as David's mighty men. And the man that he invited, you know, to come and say, well, go to your house and see your wife. He said, no, I can't do that. Not with the army out there like it is. These men learned honor from him by being around him. Why am I saying this? Our children should learn honor from being around us and watching us. Our grandchildren should learn honor. No, you can't count on the school or the government to teach these things. No. Thank God if they do or reinforce, but no, it's got to come, and you can't give what you don't have.
Uh-oh.
Huh? How many have realized more and more a child problem is a parent problem? How many times have you seen that? Moving right along. And the same thing, churches are supposed to be families. Is that right? The pastors are the mama and daddy. And then you got the older kids. Should the young ones that got born again yesterday learn about honor by watching their pastors and their leaders and the older Christians that sit beside? Huh? This is so beautiful and important and vital. But it takes revelation. Because the world we live in, you try to explain it to, they won't even understand what you're talking about. They don't even relate to it. But notice this. In getting ready to think about closing, I think. 1 Chronicles 21. In this passage, David has really messed up. He ordered the counting and numbering of the people. And the problem with it is to boast. And even Joab tried to talk him out of it. Said, look, God add to you way more than this, but why do you want this? He was the king, so he pushed it through. And it brought judgment on him. And there was destruction and disease and problems. And he repented and saw that he needed to try to make things right, and he goes out to a place that was belonged to Ornan, a threshing floor. And the Lord directed him that he needed to make an offering there. Now, if I understand correctly, this very site is where they later built the temple. And I don't know that anybody knew that at that time, but it was important. And notice what happened in verse 22. David came to Ornan. And this is the king with his entourage. And it's hard times. A lot of people have died. Bad things going on. He says, grant me the place of this threshing floor that I may build an altar to the Lord. And you grant it to me for full price that the plague may be stayed from the people. And when Ornan heard that, he said, Take it. No, my Lord the King. Do what's good in your eyes. And I give you the oxen. I give you for the burnt offerings. You can have the instruments. You can burn them for wood and the wheat. Everything that's here. Make that your food offering. I give it all to you. And David said, man, that's a blessing. Huh? That is a blessing. Thank you, brother. I agree with you for 100-fold. Why are you laughing? There are times we have spoken too quick. There are times we have just responded by rote. Didn't even ask the Lord. Didn't even check with him. And King David said to Ornan, no, no. I will verily buy it for the full price. He said, no discounts. No preacher discount. Hmm? If God is who you preach him to be on Sunday morning, you don't need to ask for a preacher discount on Monday. Oh, that went over big, didn't it? He said, David said, no. Now, why am I talking about this? You will never see this in the world. The world can't even think like this. But this is how God is. And people who get to know him, they know it. And they begin to think like him. And their minds begin to be renewed. So that you can prove what is that good, acceptable. Perfect and acceptable will of God. He said, no, no. Full price for everything, because I will not take what is yours for the Lord, and I will not offer burnt offerings that didn't cost me anything. Why? Because he wants to offer a real offering to the Lord that his heart is connected to. And if it means nothing to him, he knows it's not going to mean anything to the Lord. He knows, and so he says, no. I will not give to the Lord that which costs me nothing. Listen to the Smith literal translation. He said, no, I will buy it for full silver, and I will not lift up what is to you, to Jehovah, to bring up burnt offerings gratuitously. Wow. Wow. Now here's the thing. Offer up. Young's literal says, I do not cause to ascend to Jehovah my God burnt offerings for nothing. The picture of a sacrifice burning up and the smoke going up out of sight into heaven portrays it leaving your hand and going to God. And he's saying, it won't ascend if it means nothing to me. It won't be acceptable, and so I can't do it. And I won't do it. Do these things bear witness with your spirit in your heart? Do you believe there's much more to learn about these things? And nobody should try to write a rule book about any of this. It's just, but the Holy Spirit inside you. He's the Spirit of God. He knows all about the honor of God. And he knows your heart at the same time. And so he'll let you know, no, you can't do it that way. And no matter what people are trying to give or what, or how convenient it might be or all this, do not ever override your heart. Do not ever ignore what you get in your heart. You're going to say, no. No. This is the way the Lord to say do it. Yeah, but that's going to cost you a lot. Yeah, and that's fine. It'll mean something. Right? It'll mean something. Stand on your feet, everybody.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.